Do you want Spears and Ali unchained, unfiltered, uncensored? If you like the live show on ESPN Tucson, 1490 AM, 94.9 HD, Channel 4, and the ESPN Tucson mobile app, then you'll love Spears and Ali Overtime, where we discuss sports, culture, movies.
And enough with the gratuitous cussing, Justin. I mean, you don't have to always use words like and go yourself.
It's Spears and Ali Overtime. Subscribe, rate, and comment on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Spears and Ali on ESPN Tucson.
Justin Spears, I like that.
With Justin Spears and Ali Farhang on 1490 AM, 94.9 HD Channel 4, ESPN Tucson. Brought to you by Tucson Federal Credit Union, the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans, and Right Way Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
I want to be entertaining, but I'm not stupid enough to compare myself to Ali.
Happy hump day, y'all. Welcome to hour number two of Spears and Ali, presented by Tucson Federal Credit Union, Right Way Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, and the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans. We're going to hear from Brian Jefferies, voice of the Arizona Wildcats, coming up at 8:25. Also, Arizona basketball insider Bruce Pasco will be joining the show later on to talk about Arizona and their Sweet 16 matchup against the Clemson Tigers in Los Angeles. Should be a fun one at the place formerly known as Staples Center. Now the Crypt.
It'll be fun after Arizona scores more points than Clemson and there's no more time on the clock. Up until then, I will be a complete ball of stress, anxiety, and a little hint of...
Nervousness?
No, a little hint of just absolutely franticness.
I love it.
Yeah, it's just, and I'll be in the stadium, and I'm either going to stress eat through the entire game or I'm going to dry heave. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait.
Why not both?
Yeah.
All right, let's bring on a very special guest. We have Drew Lynch. He's a comedian. He's got a stand-up show at the Rialto Theater Thursday night. That's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. And he's joining us here on ESPN Radio. Drew, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Hint of franticness is exactly what I have in my Instagram bio.
Well, my brother from another mother, I'm glad we could share that together. So, hey, Drew, you were runner-up in the 2015 America's Got Talent show. Tell me you didn't lose to the lady on a unicycle juggling bowling pins.
No, that would have been dignified. I lost to a ventriloquist, so... some guy put his hand inside of a puppet and then won $1 million, and I had to just watch it happen.
Oh, my goodness. You were robbed, man. You were robbed. But Arizona basketball is going to make it right for you and beat Clemson on Thursday and then win on Saturday to go to the Final Four, and the universe will all be together. So tell us about
That's
your
That's exactly
show.
What I thought when I lost, too. I was like, I can't wait for a team in Arizona to avenge this, and I hope it's basketball.
Yeah, I'm searching for any synergies, buddy. So tell us about you. Tell us about your show coming up at the Rialto. You are a very funny dude, and you got a really nice following. Tell the people about Drew Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, how far back do you want me to go? I was a C-section. I don't know if that – I was a cesarean. I actually was born in Indiana, and then I lived in Vegas for a really long time. I lived there. Well, I went. My family moved with me. It wasn't like I was eight, so it wasn't like I was like, I'm out. I'm gonna go where you can gamble. So I was in Indiana when I was for the first part of my life, and then I moved out to Vegas. So, you know, growing up in a desert climate, I really understand how it goes, you know, when you're not allowed to have grass in your yard and people come and yell at you for how much water you're using. Like I get the struggle of the Phoenicians.
So you were, you grew up in Indiana,
which is known as the hotbed of comedy. Drew can tell you.
But I gotta ask.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. So many greats came out of Indiana.
But did you have a favorite basketball team growing up? Were you a Hoosier? Did you follow the Pacers? Do you have a sports fandom?
I did. So I grew up watching the Pacers with Reggie Miller, and it was like it was crazy because I remember everybody used to come over to our house, and they were just like people in the neighborhood. You know what I mean? And it was just like, oh, okay. Like, you know, that was like, that was the way that I found out that certain people weren't, child predators. I was like, oh, this is just a person who likes sports as well, in my neighborhood. That's exciting. So then we would come into the house and everybody would like gather around the TV and then we would watch the Pacers. And then when Reggie Miller would sink a three, which, you know, like he, I guess, did, I mean, quite a bit. He was a really, really good three pointer in the league. It immediately made me excited, and then it immediately turned me off to basketball because every single time it would happen, everybody in the room would go, boom, baby! And that just feels like the cringiest thing anybody... That feels like when a mom, you know, when a mom like gets all of her errands done on a Saturday and she comes back home with all a bunch of groceries and she's like, boom, baby, I did it! And we were like, what? This is not much of an impact. I don't know what you think you did. So in all of a moment, I was like, I can't wait to get to hang out with these people and watch basketball. And then when a room of adults, by the way, shouted that, I was like, I'm not old enough to develop memories, but I am old enough to know that this is not appropriate.
I love it. Drew, take us back to when you were growing up, and there was you had a softball accident that changed your life. I mean, for the rest of your life, take us through that story and how that softball accident impacted you.
Yeah. So I was living in Vegas, you know, I went to just loads of performing arts schools because, I wasn't really like, you know, I didn't vibe with like sports or anything like that. And I just, you know, I love performance. So, you know, I grew up in a bunch of theater programs, a bunch of magnet programs where, you know, like it was acting focused, and there were some intensive like studies that were focused on that. And so, when I was 18, I moved out to LA to just, you know, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try it for a year just to see how far I can get on my own. I had already had enough credits stacked away to have had my first year of college already done. So I already completed my first year of college in high school. So I was like, I'm just going to go out to LA and see what happens. And the first year that I was out here, I got an agent, I got a manager, I had a bunch of things that I had booked with Disney, and I had some stuff in the queue for like a CBS project and stuff with like Cartoon Network. So things were already like building really, really steadily, and I had already gained quite a bit of momentum in just 1 year of living out here. And then I was on a rec softball league for my day job, which is a comedy club. And I was like, oh, it you know, I like comedy. I don't really want to do stand up. I enjoy it. And there was a freak accident there was on a Sunday before I had a bunch of appointments and callbacks coming up for a lot of these auditions that I was on, like a lot of these projects that I was on hold for. And it was a grounder that had popped up and hit me in my throat. And when I had fallen and hit my head on the ground, I had a TBI from it. I had a major concussion with a vocal contusion. And so it messed with a lot of my motor skills. And my speech was different. I was stuttering. My memory was different. The control of the whole left side of my body was not like functional. And so because of that, I had everybody who was representing me at the time, they dropped me. They were like, well, we can't represent somebody who stutters. We can't represent somebody who, you know, is kind of going through this medical crisis. Maybe come back when you get better. And that was years and years and years before I even got better. So because of that, I couldn't get hired anywhere. So I started doing stand up and kind of making self-deprecating jokes about what had happened. And that kind of was the pivotal moment that changed my life.
Drew, I got to ask you, you know, I was watching an interview with Larry David, and I've heard other comedians say that, you know, the beautiful thing about comedy is you can talk about things that make us uncomfortable and put it in a way that is funny and people can enjoy. But, you know, things have changed since the days of Delirious and Eddie Murphy. And now comedians more and more are being very, maybe unfortunately, like very, very cautious about what things you can talk about because you never know who's got their phone and they're going to videotape it. And the next thing you know, you're canceled. Is that something that's on your mind when you do your act?
Yeah, I think it's on everybody's mind, you know, because so many things are just ripped out of context. And it's frustrating because it's like, I think the intention has to be so, so clear on where you're coming from and that you're not trying to make a commentary on, you know, isolating another group or making them feel like lesser than. And that's the thing is, I think everybody's gotten overly sensitive or overcorrected from, you know, the fact that there is a lot of groups out there who do support, you know, there are people who do support groups that represent some form of hatred or isolation. And that's not what comedy is supposed to be. You know, I think that's why for me, the very first part of my career, you know, I spent a bunch of time making jokes just about myself. You know, I wanted to try to, you know, humanize the experience, but also say like, listen, I can be self-aware about myself. And I hope you know that if I'm making a joke about you or if I'm making a joke that is something that you identify with, like that's not me attacking your character. It's just, it's all about the intent. And so it sucks that you can't really make jokes about certain things because of cancel culture and the effects that can have on somebody's career.
Comedian Drew Lynch joining Spears and Ali on ESPN Radio. So, Drew, you also have a very popular YouTube channel that has a few million subscribers called Dog Vlog with your special pal. What can you tell us about your dog and where the idea came from to create this YouTube channel?
Well, so that was a few years ago, because since then my dog Stella has passed away.
Sorry to hear.
No, that's okay. I mean, if you just don't mind me having a few minutes on air to weep, that would be good.
That's what Justin's, you checked one of the boxes of his life goals. I'm going to get a comedian on the radio and make him cry.
Yeah. That's I was planning on doing it anyway. This is a dream come true of mine. I used to do a show with my dog called Dog Vlog. And it was basically after I did America's Got Talent. Most people think that I kind of developed my audience, that I got the bulk of my audience from that show, and that show definitely helped. But when I was done with that show, I think I had like 80,000 subscribers on YouTube. So the show definitely helped. That's huge. And I was grateful to have done it, but it was really up to me afterward to try and sustain a career, and try to stay relevant on your own terms, you know? And so like, That show does a great job about, like, you know, introducing people, but it's really up to the performer and the artist to try and sustain something after the fact. And so I started doing videos with my dog, you know, every week, twice a week for, you know, I was doing them for a few years, and then, you know, we were able to curate an audience of a million on YouTube. And then I kind of started to do stand-up clips, like a lot of crowd work clips that happened, that, you know, like just interactions. And, you know, comedians, they don't want to burn material. So if you're able to just put something else out there that is something that it will never be repeated, which I think is a lot happens during my show. I think every show that I do is unique. I'm always interactive with everybody that's happening, you know, everything that's happening. And I talk about the place that I'm at. And so because of that leap that I put a lot of that content onto my YouTube channel with a lot of these audience interactions, that's what jumped us up to that 2 million mark. And so, it's been really a blessing having had that show happen, but it really does, it's really up to the person after the fact to kind of brand themselves and figure out what they're going to do.
Drew, my brother lives in Atlanta. I'm going to go visit him in a couple months here. And obviously that's in the South. And I understand that you've created a barometer of determining how Southern somebody is. So give me a little bit of a heads up of what I can expect when I go to Georgia.
Well, you shouldn't expect much. But what I would say is that, you're gonna get to know yourself quite a bit, because Atlanta traffic doesn't mess around, dude. Like if you wanna, I wouldn't, I just, I wouldn't, I wouldn't anticipate that you'll end up making it back. So I would say pack enough to just live there, because people don't like that. The traffic doesn't move at all. And I don't know what the mark of how Southern someone is, but what I can appreciate about people that are down from the South is the accent, and that they can just put words together, and we're all just supposed to accept it. No one calls them out on this. There's no accountability on anything. That people are just like, well, when I tickled the crick and went down to a fiddle on blazer, I found my way into the grocery bag of a store hobbit bought nobbit. And you're like, well, okay, that's not a real thing that you just said. And they're like, oh, come on, another man's mouse is a giraffe's hide on a stick. And you're like, I can't talk to you, Grandpa. I can't talk to you, Grandpa. I'm gonna go outside. And there's not a chance that a car is going to be able to hit me, because it's bumper to bumper out there. But God, I hate this so much. So I would say I'm mad at you for going, and I'm mad at your brother for living there.
Bless your heart, Ollie. Oh, bless your heart.
Oh, I'm going to have an attitude now. I'm going to get off and go to the, get off the plane. They'll be like, sir, can I take your bag? I'm like, why can't a guy named Ollie have a bag?
Yeah.
I'm already going to have an edge
have
to
a
me.
Bag? Why is it? Why does a lizard lick got to stick you all in the heel toe? And you're like, all right, I don't know what that means, but Ollie's in a mood. He's in a mood.
Drew, before we let you go, how many times have you been to Tucson? And if you haven't been to Tucson, what have you heard about the city?
So I went to Tucson. I drove from Tucson from Phoenix because I'm a hero and I deserve to be medaled. So I drove from Phoenix to Tucson, and apparently I saw an ostrich. Is there an ostrich museum?
There's an ostrich farm.
Or like a...
Yeah, at Picacho
Peak.
Yeah,
an ostrich farm. Yeah, you guys can knock that off, dude. Knock it off. Do something normal. Do a gas station, or don't, I don't need, we don't need, I never knew that I needed to not know that something existed. I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's kind of, no, you know what? That makes me angry. It makes me angry that it exists. So I don't know why. It's like, I don't know why. I don't know if you're doing experiments on normal birds and then they just become ostriches. And you're like, well, that didn't work. But just get a normal aviary so old people can come visit it for their last years. And they'll be like, oh, look, there's a blue jay. There's a king crested cutlet or whatever. But making it just an ostrich farm. Man, that bummed me out. I've never been more excited to arrive in Tucson, because I was like, it got weird outside the city real fast.
Oh yeah. Oh no, it's even better. Right down the street from the ostrich farm is an adult video bookstore. So
yeah.
There's nothing
yeah,
more
man, I
middle
can't...
of the desert that you want than an ostrich farm in an adult video bookstore.
I can't show up to a bird farm with a boner again. People don't like it. You know what I mean? It sends the wrong message for how I feel about an ostrich.
That is comedian Drew Lynch. He is performing at the Rialto Theater Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Get your tickets. Go to the Rialto Theater and check out a great show. Drew, we appreciate your time. Welcome to Tucson.
Have a great show. And this interview was so good. I only got one thing to say, Drew. Boom, baby.
Boom, yeah, yeah. Baby.
Oh, damn it. I should have known. All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Drew. Welcome to Tucson. That's awesome, man. He's got one of his latest parts on YouTube is the Did I Stutter podcast.
Yeah.
Great dude. Super funny. How many times, when's the last time you've been to the ostrich farm?
You want to know something?
You've never been?
Never
you
been.
Just
Neither
oh,
have
wow.
I.
Never been to the ostrich
Neither
farm.
I've always been headed somewhere else.
I know there's
I got some more important.
I know there's some cool stuff to do around it, so I'm not diminishing it.
Feed the stingrays.
I'm like, oh, there's stingrays. I'm like, oh, look, ostriches. I don't need to get any closer. On my way.
All right, coming up next on Spears and Ali, we got another special one joining us. The voice of the Wildcats, Brian Jeffries, previewing Thursday night's Sweet 16 battle between the Arizona Wildcats and the Clemson Tigers.
And Brian, if you're listening, no, I've also not been to the adult bookstore. I haven't been there either. So just let's get that out of the way.
Stick around.
Yeah.
You don't have one of those punch cards?
No.
Yeah, Mr. Patel. Yeah, I got good news and bad news for you. Good news is we got your payment. Bad news is you're going to jail. All right, I'll see you.
Hey, by the way, I told everybody you're guilty. Is that cool? You wanted me to do that, right?
I figured we were cool.
The retainer is in. I cashed a check. And then I told everybody you're guilty. Man, my work is done here.
All good.
All good.
Wake up with Spears and Ali. Weekday mornings 7 to 9 on 1490 AM 94.9 HD4 ESPN Tucson. Brought to you by Tucson Federal Credit Union and the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans.
Arizona Wildcats, currently California dreaming, and they're dreaming of getting to the Final Four. They got the Sweet 16 matchup coming up here on Thursday against the Clemson Tigers. Winner will take on Alabama, North Carolina. But
let's go!
One game at a time. And let's get a preview of the Sweet 16 and talk about the latest with the Arizona Wildcats men's basketball program with the voice of the Wildcats himself, Mr. Brian Jeffries, who's calling in from Los Angeles. Brian, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning here in Los Angeles. Justin, I'm sitting across the street from Crypto.com Arena. I don't know why they keep that name up there, but, you know, it's the old Staples Center. It's not that old, but it's a great day, and we're looking forward to a busy day today and a big game tomorrow.
Brian, I'm like a ball of anxiety right now, and I'm going to come join you tomorrow. Not next to you. Don't worry, but somewhere in the same stadium. I really feel like this Arizona basketball team, they've got something special within them, and it's I think Tommy Lloyd called it, the chemistry is national championship quality. Being around the team, what are your impressions of this team, and am I getting the right feelings about this team really being together?
Very much so, Holly, very much so. I think that, chemistry gets tossed around probably a little bit too much because sometimes coaches like to use that, I think, as a smoke screen if they don't have it. But this team truly does have it. They have a great love for one another. I think that's another way to look at it, is that, you know, they want each other to succeed. There's no prima donnas on the team. They really are a together group. It doesn't mean that they're going to win every game, and, you know, that's been proven out this season. But, when they do lose, they stand behind each other, and when they win, they celebrate together. And I think that's a great scene. I've just, you know, several times this throughout the course of the season, just little tiny pictures. You remember guys hugging at the end of a game, or, you know, a guy goes in and hits a big basket and the celebration from the bench. And little stuff like that tells you that these guys really are rooting for each other. And they've got a great opportunity here to move on in this tournament because of that. And obviously, you know, great coaching, and, you know, they're just a really good team. We can't put that aside, that this team's got some skills, and they got the opportunity here to make a deep run, which would start tomorrow.
So give us a scouting report on Clemson. I know you've been doing your homework for the last few days now. The Tigers had a great shooting performance against the Baylor Bears. Chase Thomas, P.J. Hall, that nice little 1-2 punch inside and out. It looks to be a pretty big challenge for Arizona. What's your take on the Clemson Tigers?
Yeah, I think, you know, they built most of their season on defense. They've held, 16 teams under 40% shooting this year. But I think you pointed out correctly that they've got some guys that can score, too. They've got some experience, and that's always key this time of the year. They've got tremendous size with P.J. Hall inside, and Ian Shefflin, Jack Clark. I mean, they can put a very big front line up against you. They've got an outstanding point guard in Joe Girard, who just happens to lead the nation in free throw shooting percentage, and so you don't want to foul him. And they've got some depth on this team. They weren't at the top of the ACC by any means. They were kind of in the shadows of North Carolina and Duke all season long, but, you know, this becomes a new season now, and they played really well against New Mexico. They played exceptionally well against Baylor. I think that game probably surprised a lot of people, what they were able to do both offensively and defensively against Baylor. So, you know, they're not the 16 teams that remain, guys, you know this very well. The 16 teams that remain are all good. You don't get here if you're not a really good team, and Clemson is certainly that.
What are you know, in your due diligence in preparing for this game and then being around Coach Lloyd and, doing your interviews, what are the keys to Arizona being successful and getting to the Elite Eight?
Well, I think it's going to start on the defensive end. And, it goes against that front line of Clemson. You know, P.J. Hall is a load at, 6'10", 240. And, you've got Shefflin, who's kind of the the face, if you want to call it, of Clemson basketball right now. He's a folk hero on campus, 6'8", 240. They put Jack Clark in the starting lineup here recently. He had some injury problems earlier, but he's 6'10", about 210. So right there, you look at that front line and wow, how Arizona defends those three guys, I think, is going to be probably the major factor. I know they talk about guard play in the tournament and how important that is, and they've got a couple really good ones in Chase Hunter and the aforementioned Joe Girard. But I really think in terms of what you know the Wildcats are looking at right now, they've got to make sure that those three guys along the front line for Clemson, you know, don't become a factor. And the Wildcats cannot get into foul trouble against them because, again, that's the strength of Clemson is those three guys up front.
And, you know, I think B.J. Hall has gotten in foul trouble for, a lot of games this year. Do you think that really for Arizona it's going to be, you know, you called it defense, and this is like the easiest things to talk about. Don't turn the ball over. And with that front line, we got a rebound. We can't give Clemson a lot of second shots.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look back at the last three or four games, Arizona has not had its normal rebound margin. Now, again, you're playing against better teams, and so you have to take that into account as well. But, no, I think that's really important. You can't give up second shots to these guys. You've got to defend without fouling. And, you know, something that, you know, Tommy Lloyd and his staff preach all season long, anytime Arizona has faced a big front line, in particular a center, a five-position player, that is, you could call him the leader of the team. Yeah, they want to get him into foul trouble. I mean, that's part of their game plan. They talk about that all the time, and they have ways of going about that. And I think Umar Ballo, if you take a look at the number of fouls he's drawn this year, it's a testament to the fact that they're capable of doing that. So, yeah, it wouldn't hurt to get P.J. Hall in foul trouble early in this game. That would certainly open up some doors for the Wildcats.
Brian, in your time as the voice of the Wildcats, give us one memorable loss and one memorable win for Arizona in the Sweet 16.
Oh, gosh. I don't break it down by weekend in terms of, you know, first round, second round, Sweet 16, Elite Eight. I just remember great wins. There's been some tough losses. I mean, Santa Clara, Oklahoma, Buffalo, certainly some of those first round games that, you know, you think you certainly had a chance to win and it just didn't work out. Obviously, you know, going back to beating North Carolina in 1988 to get to the first Final Four is always going to be one of my favorite memories. And I think anytime you win a Sweet 16 game, and Arizona's been, you know, pretty good in that regard, you get down to that Elite Eight, and that's when the nerves really start to hit. And I'm not saying it hits the players, but I think everybody else, because you're one game away from the Final Four. And so let's be honest, you know, there's been really tough Elite Eight losses here along the way. But I think this is a game where, you know, both teams have played twice now. I think both are very comfortable where they're at. They're both going to play with confidence. I don't think there's going to be any of those butterflies you saw last week, and everybody has that going into that first game. Now I think you really start to see the best out of every team come out. They've gotten this far. They know what's at stake right now. And so I'm just looking forward to a great game tomorrow. And I think Arizona has a great chance to win. If they play to their strengths, you know, they can advance, and then we'll see what happens after that. Obviously, North Carolina, the number one seed in the West, is probably favored over Alabama, a team the Wildcats have seen this year. But boy, you'd love to take on either one of those on Saturday.
Absolutely. And, you know, Brian, you're always calm, cool, collected, but you're also around this team. You've also been the voice of Arizona basketball for a long time. When you're calling a game and things are getting tense or things are getting exciting, how are you able to control your emotions and make sure that you're conveying what you need to the listener?
Well, I think that's just the bottom line. You've got to remember that even though – yeah, I think last week was a great example when, Dayton closed that game down to a one-possession game in the second half. I started to get a little bit nervous because, you know, I want to see the Wildcats win every game. I make no bones about it. And you just have to remember, you know, where you're at. You've got to remember who you're talking to, and you've got to keep things in perspective at all times because that's probably the most important thing. You can't let your emotions get a hold of you, because then you kind of lose, I think you can lose control then of what you're trying to do. You're trying to get, you know, paint the picture of exactly what's happening, and you can't tilt it either way. You can't look at the good and the bad. You've got to kind of keep a straight line there, and you know, the game's played for 40 minutes and you've got to stay in control for 40 minutes. And sometimes it's not easy, granted. And as you get deeper into this tournament, I'm just like everybody else. I get keyed up a little bit more because you know what's at stake and you don't want to go home tomorrow night. And so, you know, you just got to keep that in mind and realize the people listening, you know, pretty much around the world are depending on you to tell them exactly what's happening and not losing any perspective.
Yes, sir. Brian, what's your go-to restaurant when you get out to Los Angeles?
You know, it depends where we're staying, and we're downtown right now, and there's a place called The Palm a few blocks from here. A buddy of mine lives in L.A. He's taken me there a few times, so
okay. That
might be it. But there's a lot of places we can walk to around here, which is great because, as you guys know, you get really busy right now, so you don't have time to take a lot of time out for meals, but there's plenty within walking distance of where we're at here downtown.
Well, hopefully it's not the last time in a long time that you're calling a game in Los Angeles.
Don't even put that out there, Justin.
Well, I mean,
come on.
Just saying.
Come
on. No UCLA.
You're going to call a great game on Thursday, Brian, and I can't wait for you to call the game on Saturday too.
Hopefully.
Well, that would be ideal. We're packing to stay through Saturday, and so you know that's what you hope for.
Let's go.
Brian Jeffries, voice of the Arizona Wildcats, joining Spears and Ali on ESPN Radio. Arizona taking on Clemson this Thursday. Brian, we appreciate your time. Have fun out there in Los Angeles, my friend.
All right, will do. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Brian.
The storied rivalry between the Clemson Tigers and Arizona Wildcats.
Whole two games.
I know.
In the series between the two. Last one was in 2011. Very forgettable season for Arizona that year.
Yeah.
That was the Josiah Turner year. All right, we got the ESPN.
He's always pouring salt.
No.
He's the face of Morton Salt.
No.
Yes.
Arizona.
He really is.
Salty Spears.
He really
People
is.
Who follow Arizona basketball know what I'm talking about.
That you're the face of Morton Salt?
No, that it was just a forgettable year. How is that pouring salt when I'm like, you know, that wasn't a good year for Arizona basketball. Oh, my God, what a hater this guy is. Like, it's not spreading hate,
but
it's the truth.
If you're like, being honest.
I am being honest.
Intellectually honest. I'm finishing
like,
my statement.
Oh, man, that was a forgettable year. No, remember them losing to Bucknell the first round?
There are times where it's like positive, 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 and then you're like, yeah, but.
You guys need a little dose of reality.
We don't
Stop being so positive all the time.
No, yes.
Here's some reality. ESPN Bet is now live in Arizona. As the official sports book of ESPN, ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Brilliantly segued.
Yeah. Well done.
We got Bruce Pasco, Arizona basketball insider, joining us next. Stay tuned.
Can you make a pie?
Pie.
If I'm like, Justin, I want you to go home and make me a cherry pie. Would you be able to do it?
Maybe.
Okay.
After a couple of YouTube tutorials. I know how to make, like, bread and stuff, like chocolate chip bread.
I think that's called cake.
Chocolate
sure.
Chocolate chip bread. Yeah, you're right.
Wake up with Spears and Ali. Weekday mornings 7 to 9 on 1490 AM, 94.9 HD4 ESPN Tucson. Brought to you by Tucson Federal Credit Union and the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans.
ESPN is giving you half-price deals, and Coffee Exchange is back. Go to ESPNTucson.com on Friday and click the half-price Friday deals link to purchase a $50 Coffee Exchange Bistro gift certificate for just $25. Go to ESPNTucson.com to purchase that. Arizona is in the Sweet 16. They're taking on the Clemson Tigers on Thursday, and we got the U of A Hoops insider Bruce Pasco joining us from Los Angeles. So, Bruce, we appreciate your time. Thank you again for joining us. Arizona, they got Clemson. This is the third time that Arizona will face the Clemson Tigers, but a very unique matchup. Now, some would say that maybe Arizona got the lucky end of the draw. Rather than playing Baylor, they're playing Clemson. But these Tigers, they're a pretty good team. What kind of matchup does this team present to Arizona?
I think they did get a good draw. Playing Clemson, they're dangerous in a lot of ways. But I think, you know, they also have an extra 36 hours of rest and didn't have to fly across the country. And I think that maybe can help a little bit too. But As far as Clemson, I think they're a pretty efficient team. I mean, they're a little hard to figure because they started off so hot, and then they pretty much underachieved in ACC play, and now they're hot again. So, you know, which team is that going to be on tomorrow? But I think basically what strikes you is they're pretty efficient offensively, really good from two-point range, and their big guy, P.J. Hall, is really – really efficient. Yeah, steps out and hits threes, which can be a problem for Arizona when big guys do that. However, he gets in foul trouble a lot, and Arizona, you know, pretty much had an advantage getting guys into foul trouble pretty much all year. So you could see that being real key, whether he stays on the floor or not, or whatever happens there. But you know, if he stays out of foul trouble, and Chase Hunter, their point guard's been really hot lately. If those things keep going, you know, this team can be a little bit of trouble because they have nothing to lose. They're hot, and there's no expectations on them. I think there was a little pressure on them in general the last couple of years because they didn't make the tournament. But now they've not only made it, but they've surpassed expectations getting to this point. And so that, you know, they'll be playing. They should be playing pretty loose and having a good time.
You know, a lot of people are talking about the big front line that Clemson can throw at you, and then Chase Hunter, their really fabulous guard, who's they're one of their main threats from outside. But they got a point guard named Joe Girard. When I watched him against Baylor, and it looked like they were going to win, I think he is the guy most likely to want to be punched in the face by Arizona fans. That guy's got a little kind of a T.J. McConnell thing going on. I mean,
fans wanted to punch T.J. McConnell.
No, but he's going to be instantly the guy that
he's an edge.
Arizona fans are going to want to punch in the face immediately, right? I mean, so from a guard perspective, I know they got a big front line, but is one of your keys to the game, Bruce, that Arizona guards just got to outperform Clemson's guards?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I think that's the case in, you know, pretty much a lot of tournament games. And yeah, they have two senior guards who've been through it. I mean, Girard's a transfer from Syracuse, been through quite a bit there, started all games. He shoots really well from three and two, and hits all his free throws. In fact, he leads the country in free throws at 95%, astounding. So he's a guy you gotta watch out for that way. And yeah, playing with some swagger out there for sure. You saw that against Baylor in these last couple games. And you know, I think Arizona, that's one thing I was kind of writing about this week, just how, you know, they need guard play in general, and whether that's going to be Kylan Boswell leading, and you know, we've seen that sometimes, and sometimes we haven't. And I think at Arizona, in the last couple of wins, beating SC in the Pac-12 tournament, and this game against Dayton last week, they showed they can do it without Boswell playing well. You know, and maybe they can in this game, but I think they probably need Boswell to at least have a decent game. You know, and then the rest of the guards kind of contribute against these two guys, because you're right, they're both seniors, they got nothing to lose, they're going out. I'm sure they're going to be, you know, they're going to be something tough to deal with.
Bruce Pasco from the Arizona Daily Star joining Spears and Ali on ESPN Tucson. Bruce, when you look at, I guess, the entire season, who do you think has been the most improved player for Arizona?
It's hard to say because most of the guys are new, basically, or from outside. So, you know, I mean, of the returning guys, I mean, honestly, it might be Umar Bala, just because he's been, you know, more consistent this year. He's played through some banged up issues and, you know, pretty much been a double-double machine. You know, I think, you know, KJ Lewis is a freshman. Jaden Bradley came in from Alabama. You know, Keyshawn Johnson came in from San Diego State. Caleb Love from North Carolina. You know, I think Love, you know, if you look at where they were last year, and, you know, regardless of them being in Arizona, I mean, you could say Love, because he's really improved his efficiency and his ball handling and getting other guys involved. He's not necessarily as much as last year. I think he, you know, was really inefficient and looking maybe too much for his shot. And I think, you know, he's become a more careful player this year. So, you know, that's a tough question though, Justin, but yeah, you know, but I think you can make a case for a lot of guys.
All right, Bruce, looking at Arizona's history in Southern California in the NCAA tournament, how do you summarize it?
And you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, Bruce. It's okay.
I mean, I've been covering this team a long time, and I've never seen them get out of the second weekend when they're playing in L.A. or Orange County. So, you know, it's not good. I mean, they lost, you know, you go back to 98, you know, they lost to Anaheim, the defending champions, just embarrassed in the Elite Eight, you know, 03, arguably a team that was number one all year, lost in Anaheim in the Elite Eight. 11, they lost. That was actually a team that, you know, kind of overachieved getting to Elite Eight, but they still could have won on the last shot there. Then you go up to, you know, the Sean Miller teams, 14 to 15. Everybody knows about those. Wisconsin, one was in Orange County. The next one was in LA right here. And, you know, and then they also lost the Sweet 16 game in, I think, 13 to Ohio State and here in LA as well. So it's been tough. And I people can say that, it's just, you know, that's just a coincidence, you know. But I think it maybe at least secondarily, I think it's hurt them in a way because there's so much pressure on the play here. A lot of the guys historically have been from Southern California, and they've got families and friends and people banging on them all week, and they come in, and it's tough. And I think this team, in that sense, this team has an advantage because none of them are really from here. Kylan Boswell sort of is from Southern Cal, but not really. He's basically from Illinois. And, you know, so this is just like anywhere else. And it's, you know, what used to be Pac-12 country, I guess. So, you know, that should be some comfort and familiarity for them, too.
That is Bruce Pascoe, Arizona basketball insider for the Arizona Daily Star, calling in from Los Angeles. He will be covering the game tomorrow and maybe even Saturday if the Wildcats win and they'll take on the winner of either Alabama or North Carolina. It'll either be a revenge game for Jaden Bradley or a revenge game for Caleb Love. The storylines are all there, but you got to get through Clemson in the Sweet 16. Bruce will have all the coverage in Los Angeles. And, Bruce, we thank you for your time. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Justin. Take care.
All right, what do you guys think about Arizona's Sweet 16 matchup against Clemson? We are taking your phone calls right now, 719-1490, 719-1490, plus we have some tickets to give away. Stay tuned.
My son's going to be playing baseball. You're going to go get this baseball money.
Oh, you're going to be one of the worst parents. Multi-sport, have fun? No.
I mean, they're going to specialize in one sport because are you kidding me? If you're getting that Shohei Ohtani money.
That's all it takes, parents. All you have to do is just put him in baseball all year round and he'll make $700 million just like Shohei Ohtani.
Wake up with Spears and Ali. Weekday morning, 7 to 9 on 1490 AM, 94.9 HD4 ESPN Tucson. Brought to you by Tucson Federal Credit Union and the Volpe team at Nova Home Loans.
Caller number 3 at 719-1490 will get a pair of tickets to Friday's game between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Colorado Rockies. Caller number 3, 719-1490, get these tickets. First pitch is at 6:40 p.m. You can also listen to the game right here on ESPN Tucson, but man, opening day. It's already here.
The tickets are not for opening day, but it's the day after opening day. So
yes,
yeah. Opening day weekend.
Yes.
All right, man.
So I'd much rather go on a Friday, personally.
Let me tell you the key to success for Arizona basketball. Baylor shot 24. They shot 40% from the field, 25% from three-point land. They shot 24 threes. New Mexico shot even worse, but they shot 23 threes. They went 3 for 23. But Boston College shot 40% from three, and they beat Clemson by 20. Clemson lures you into that three-point shot, and if you're not hitting them, they are going to be a problem. So Arizona really needs to focus on, look, the guard's got to take the ball to the rim. We got to work it inside out. If you're going to take a three, take a good three. And if Arizona, they have a tough day from three-point land, and I say anything lower than 35%, then it's going to be, well, it's going to be nervous time. Hold on to your butts. And it's, if you look at the Clemson games, that three-point line, I mean, it's astonishing if you look at the stats. New Mexico and Baylor, 3 for 23, 4 for 24, right? So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for, is Arizona during that game, are we settling for outside shots because that's part of the Clemson Tiger trap? Or are we pushing the issue? Are we being the aggressor, and are we taking the ball to the basket?
Who's the X factor in this game out of all the players?
From the starting five? I mean, that's the thing about our team. Anybody can be the X factor, right? Look for a big Pella Larson game.
Yeah.
That's who I'm really kind of focused in on.
And not just scoring.
He's guarding a taller guy in Shefflin or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
But he's also got the advantage on the offensive end.
What I'm saying, look out for Pella Larson to impact a game that doesn't necessarily show up on the box score. I look for him to draw over. I want to set the over-under on charges drawn by Pella Larson.
1.5?
1.5.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's going to be on the floor a lot drawing charges, and if they get those calls, and those kind of plays give Arizona a little bit of momentum.
Yeah.
That could really kickstart something for the Wildcats. So.
Well, with my point about the three-point line also, it's like, you know, I'm going to say Boswell Bradley, Caleb Love. And Caleb Love, like, has been our guy. That's the who was the go-to guy? We were questioning that in the beginning of the year. We know it's Caleb Love. So, you know, Caleb, Kylan, Bradley, our guards have to have a good game. They don't have to have a superior game, but they got to have a good game. And if our guards have a good game, I think that Keshawn Johnson, Pella Larson, and Umar Ballo are going to hold up their end of the bargain with the front line of Clemson. And so, you know, that three-point line is something I'm looking really – I'm really focused on, and who's going to be the aggressor? Who's going to be the more physical team? It has got to be Arizona going to the Final Four, baby.
March Madness now in the Sweet 16. Arizona taking on Clemson tomorrow. We'll talk about all of that. Plus, our ESPN Tucson Munchie Madness is in the Sweet 16. Go to the ESPN Tucson Twitter account and cast your votes for the four regions. We're going to talk about all of that on Spears and Ali Overtime on YouTube. Do you want Spears and Ali unchained, unfiltered, uncensored? If you like the live show on ESPN Tucson, 1490 AM, 94.9 HD, Channel 4, and the ESPN Tucson mobile app, then you'll love Spears and Ali Overtime, where we discuss sports, culture, movies.
And enough with the gratuitous cussing, Justin. I mean, you don't have to always use words like and go yourself.
It's Spears and Ali Overtime. Subscribe, rate, and comment on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.